Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Tyra Johnson Brown, the director of the Office of Community Development, stated the other day that they are $8 million short, shortfall, which is urgently needed to support affordable housing projects. And it seems as though that they were receiving dollars from a multitude of different sources, and somehow or another, there was a failure somewhere, somehow. So we reached out to Andronika Morris, Executive Director of Housing NOLA, to kind of backfill this story for us. Andronika, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Newell. Thank you for having me.
So you are an advocate for affordable housing, have been for a long, long time. You and I have talked many, many times on this issue. This is something that seems to continue to repeat itself, not just in the housing sphere, but throughout city government about this getting our hands on dollars that are supposed to be there, and then we find out ain't there no more. What's up with this one?
So this one is, we've been dealing with this one for a minute, and it actually was part of the campaign that we did last year for the Housing Trust Fund. One of the things that I want to make sure we point out is that the process that has been put in place for the Housing Trust Fund is what has helped illuminate this issue. Because we've been asking this question for a while. So what happened was in May of 2023, the council and the administration created an affordable housing and workforce housing gap financing fund. What was happening and what's continuing to happen is that large scale development deals that actually were ready to rock, had all of their funding in place in 2023. We were fully into the insurance crisis. And so projects that some were supposed to start in 2021, 2022 were stalled and halted because when they went to get, they were getting ready to close to start construction, they get a new insurance quote that puts a $3-5 million hole in the project. And they struggled for several years to find ways of closing that, to do things, to value engineer, reduce construction costs. And finally, and these were all projects that had some form of public money in them, right? Where the city, the various housing agencies, including the Housing Corporation, the State Housing Corporation, and all of the other locals were involved in some form or fashion. So the city and the council came up with this fund, this $32 million based on what was in the pipeline, and the money was appropriated. And that's where things start to go sideways. What ends up happening is, instead of going back to the list of developers, these are all projects that the public partners had some involvement with, and figuring out who was actually ready, the city made the decision to put out an RFP for these developers, who the money was appropriated for, to apply and say, hey, we want to get this money together. We would like to get this money to close the holes. Through that process, they went through that process and appropriated the money. It took them some time. Going through an RFP process is lengthy, but they went ahead and appropriated the money, obligated it, issued award letters. And then last year, in 2024, the council decided, said, hey, this is taking too long, even though they were very well aware of the process that the city had decided on. We talked to them about, hey, maybe we push them instead of doing an RFP. And we heard from council members, well, no, they should do an RFP. That's going to slow things down. They were like, that's fine. They need to do an RFP. Okay. And then in last year, they decided that it was taking too long, and they took $8 million back. And when I say they, it wasn't just the council. The administration also agreed to take the $8 million back. Now, by this time, they had obligated all $32 million to a slate of projects. But the administration and the council both agreed to take $8 million away from that pot of money and put it in other places. And they obligated it to other projects. One project was $2 million going to Habitat for Humanity, and that money actually didn't get deployed. So now here we are, and we've been able to run this down and get specifics about this. We've been asking about this pot of money for a number of years. And it was through the trust fund process because, as you and I have talked about, the trust fund dollars, these are very precious dollars. The council and the administration need to know what else is happening before they invest any of that money. That those dollars won't be available until 2026. And what we committed to and what the people, when they voted overwhelmingly for this, frankly demanded some transparency inside of this process, digging in and finding out what's been going on. So the good news is there's no longer question marks. The bad news is what was done and needs to be corrected is projects that were obligated now are coming up on needing dollars. And the council and the administration, because they did this, are going to have to honor that obligation or these projects won't be able to move forward.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
So the monies that were diverted to Habitat for Humanity that were never spent, wasn't there the same risk that the administration and the council feared that they would lose these ARPA dollars because they had to be spent by a certain date? Is that not
that's
the case?
That's what they said on record, but they had to be obligated because, and they were obligated
they
when they were obligated to the project.
Different terms, right?
Right. Spending up, that's the point. That's my point. Is that, and that's part of the thing that we're trying to get clarification around. Because they obligated it to Habitat, and they did not spend it with they actually didn't obligate it to Habitat. Habitat also had to go through an RFP that was later canceled. So the money wasn't directly obligated to Habitat. The city, once again, put out an RFP that Habitat and I think other people responded to, and then the city canceled. So those dollars were never obligated to Habitat.
So let me ask the question this way, and I get what you're saying relative to the housing trust fund, but it seems to me, I like to break this down to a very simplistic thing. It seems to me the left hand didn't fully know what the right hand was doing, and vice versa. And we got at cross purposes with one another over these dollars. So process of the housing trust fund is not going to resolve that issue. I mean, we got to get on a sheet of music. I mean, are we not meeting? Are we not communicating with one another as to the present day status of what's going on and why these dollars are critical to be in the pipeline and continue to be in the pipeline for this or otherwise? I mean, this is crazy. I mean,
you're exactly
we see
right.
this and, repeating and, itself over and over and over again.
And again, the trust fund is illuminating this because the advisory committee is meeting on schedule and we're discussing this and we're talking about the priorities and we're saying, okay, city administration and city council, you created an $8 million gap. You have to close that $8 million gap this year.
Yeah, but Andronika, let me ask the question this way, and I know you're going to be deadpan honest. You don't want to find out after it happened. You want to find out before they start making these things that there's a clear understanding. This is where we are. This is why we are. This is why these dollars need to stay obligated and stay in this lane, this revenue lane for us because it's critical, and we're going to get it spent. One way or the other.
That's right. No,
I mean,
That's exactly, no, you're exactly right. That's why we want to see as a part of the budget process, a genuine discussion of the funding that's going to be available for 2026 with the understanding of what was spent in 2025 and what needs to be done. What hasn't been spent in 2025 around housing. We have secured commitments from every housing agency to come and present to the New Orleans City Council and to the administration what they're doing. The Louisiana Housing Corporation, the Housing Authority of New Orleans, the Finance Authority of New Orleans, the Redevelopment Authority of New Orleans, they have all agreed to come and share their information so that the council and the administration can understand what's on deck and what is still lingering out there. You're exactly right. This is what we wanted to see. We want to, we and the people deserve that level of transparency. And to your point, frankly, they should be doing this. And while we know everybody meets, but there's just not been this pressure and this accountability, because there's been a lot of kabuki theater going on. Frank, like, you go, oh, you haven't spent this money, so we're going to move it, and then you don't say anything else about your new plan. Something that the administration agreed to, by the way, that wasn't successful. Like, this is not that there's still a kind of almost like a, well, what are we going to do? You're going to plug this hole that you all created. That's what you're going to do.
Well, but who's the point?
Projects are not going to move forward.
I got to ask this question. Who is the point person from the city administration, not the council, from the city administration that's bringing all these players together to bring these issues to the forefront to deal with them? Who is that? Who is that person?
That would now be Joe Threat, because this office falls under the CAO. So before that, it was Gilbert Montano.
So leading up to this, Gilbert's still there. He's not leaving until the end of August. So this is
right.
This is his obligation to do this. I mean,
correct.
I really just simply don't understand how we get. And then the other question is, what's the likelihood that they're going to find $8 million? I'm told they're $73 million in the hole right now.
Right.
You know, they're upside down in the sanitation budget by $34 million. I mean, where are these dollars going to come from? I mean, you heard it as well as I, because you and I talked about it. We were so flush with cash, money was not a problem. We just needed to get the programs and the projects started. Now, all of a sudden, money's a problem.
Right. And again, it's all interconnected. It's everything from some of the challenges that we've been talking about over the years with the revenue projections being off, when there was concerns about whether or not the assessments were, actually correct. And most importantly, given the insurance crisis, whether or not people could pay their property taxes. And that causing a real constriction, right? The so much so that, and I know you're familiar with this process, the city has done something extraordinary. You know, they issued notices to people who were behind on their 2023 and 2024 taxes and demanded that they pay. Otherwise, they'd be referring them to tax sales earlier. They set a deadline for the middle of the
summer. Well, you're obligated to do that under the law. You know, it's not a discretionary thing.
You are, but they typically give people, when they talk about threatening tax sales, they typically give people more than a year before they threaten the tax sale. They typically do.
I'm not sure they have that discretion.
Illegal. But. Yeah, that's up to their discretion. But it speaks to the financial situation. It speaks to the revenue piece. And
so where do you think this $8 million is going to come from? What are they telling you?
Well, we're not sure. Now, there's a couple different things that they can look at. There's been some recent commitments around other large scale projects. That's what we've got to have a conversation about. What are our priorities? What are our priorities? We are also urging people, or urging the council and the administration, to not park money with large projects that are not ready to close. Right? That if you've got a project that 3, 4, 5 years in the offing, and you want that commitment, and we understand that you need that commitment to assemble the rest of your financing, but do we actually need to hold that cash hostage when we have moved money around for other things, for other reasons?
Well, I could just, if I were to put my developer hat on, Andronika, I mean, I wouldn't move forward with the history that the city has, right?
Right. I mean, yeah.
If the cash isn't there, I'm not certain that I'm going to be able to convince a whole lot of other financial folks that the city's going to live up to their obligation.
That's right. And that makes sense.
But repeatedly, they've not been able to. Right? I mean, their own agency now is shorted $8 million, and we don't even have really a plan as to how we're going to make that up.
And that's the piece, is that there's got to be some discipline, there's got to be some strategy, because what's happening is the failure to not acknowledge your priorities and kind of go, we're not sure what we're going to do. You're still going to have developers and financiers who are going to be demoralized and discouraged. You got deals that have been working in good faith, that are ready to close, that have commitment letters and have been pushed to close and have been pushed to and have been told, okay, you have this deadline, you have this deadline. They've met those deadlines. Sometimes they've asked for extensions. Those things have been granted. They have not been told no. And other financiers, banks who have already committed to those projects. So you're running the same risk. Is how do you take control of it and do it in a way that actually promotes credibility to let the rest of the development community know, the investment community know, that we are ready to do business in a way that is strategic and impactful. And that's not impossible. It's not. It requires choice.
No, it happens in other cities all the time. I mean, in other jurisdictions all the time. I mean, this is not rocket science. The other thing that caused me a little concern is Ms. Brown stated that there were dollars from previous bond sales that she was supposed to be provided, a sum of about $25 million that she's never received and never has been granted access to. What happened there?
Correct. That's another piece that we have been peppering the administration and the council for quite some time. And again, it's also why we wanted this lockbox process designed, so that never again could the city go, when we're talking about housing dollars, go, we're not really sure. The bond financing is a longstanding thorn in this work. The mayor in 2021 went on a tour and created an affordable housing and infrastructure bond of about $500 million. Only $25 million of those dollars were going to be dedicated to affordable housing, which we thought was incredibly problematic. And it's also this vagueness. This I think vagueness is not the right word. This opaqueness, right? This, where's the money go? These are not unreasonable questions to be asking. Where did the money go? Where did the $475 million go? So there's $25 million that has just never been manifested. And we've been told over the past that initially some of it went into the trust fund, the trust fund that the council recreated in 2023. Some of the money went there, and they were waiting for the bonds to be sold, so the money wasn't available. And that was, again, part of the reason why we were ferocious. You and I talked about this. I understood the skepticism. We were like, we're not going to let them do this anymore. This is crackers. And we can't keep doing this. We need to be clear about this. And we are, as a part of this process, going to get clear about where all of this money is. Everything that's in the sofa cushions needs to be made available, because some of it can be used to close that $8 million gap. Right. It we don't have to rob Peter to pay Paul if we can get a clear and honest accounting of the money that has been set aside and dedicated to affordable housing, and get clear on what hasn't been expended.
Well, there's one thing I'll say for certain. Whoever the next mayor is needs to do a complete audit of everything, because I don't know that you ever catch up and quite understand where you stand, where what is where, you know, here, there, otherwise. I mean, these are the kind of things that, that this is just part of governance. You know, somebody, yeah, the point person,
good
needs
governance
to be, you know, assembling all of these folks and working through these issues. I mean, there shouldn't be, you know, $8 million fallout surprises, $20 million bond fallout surprises, not knowing why that, you know, the money was promised and it, nobody knows where it is. How do you do business that way? How do you get anybody to really come into the city who understands good, sound business principles and is willing to put their company at risk? Because that's what they're doing, their company and their reputation at risk, not even knowing whether or not the dollars are going to be there at the end. I mean,
right,
you know.
I mean, and this is what's causing a lot of the challenges on for community, for the citizens, right? It's why we've lost
sure.
so many people. We've not been able to stabilize folks because we had resources. They weren't deployed quickly enough, because, and exactly for this reason, if you think money is there, and some of this isn't a surprise, right? It's a failure to be held accountable and to be transparent, to really report out, you made this commitment, what did you do with the money? And the humana, like, that's not acceptable. And we've certainly been, you know, we've talked about this, been really clear about it's not acceptable and we're not going to accept it. Because the voters are paying the price. The citizens are paying the price.
Of course. I mean,
the schools,
these are tax dollars, and you know, affordable housing is necessary. I mean,
correct.
You know, we've talked about that a million times, but yet every time we have an opportunity to kind of get something done, we're stuck on stuck, and now we're figuring out, can't figure out where the money is. I mean, I'm reading an article right now about Baton Rouge, the similar situation.
I mean, that's right.
It's like, it's all messed up.
And we have to be clear. This is not impossible. Most people agree. It's like, okay, we're not asking you to spend straw into gold here. We're saying the folks we've made responsible for these dollars need to truly take responsibility and be able to articulate what happened and also own their decision. If you decide to move money, then you've got to say, someone's got to say, I'm sorry, we can't fund your project anymore. Because we had another priority that was more pressing. We made a choice. We've made a decision, and we're sorry.
It's going
to
be interesting. I mean,
I
mean, it's just this is not how you get to success, not by any stretch of the imagination.
No.
As always, we always appreciate your frankness.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
I was going to say the good news is that we actually have some light on this, because sunlight is the best disinfectant. Because this is a wound. Right, it's an infection that really needs to be cleaned out, debrided, and treated.
No doubt. I don't know that there's enough antibiotics though floating around at the present time. Andronika Morris, Executive Director of Housing NOLA, thank you so much for joining us. We truly appreciate your time and your insight, and have a great week.
Thanks, Newell. Take care.
We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.